Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This morning is known in many denominations as Good Shepherd Sunday, and it is the Sunday in the Easter season where we reflect on all that the scriptures teach about how Jesus is our Good Shepherd. And invariably, one of the readings comes out of John's Gospel, chapter 10, which is full of various images about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd Sunday reminds us that this image of God as our shepherd and we as his people goes all the way back through the Old Testament, probably most famously in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But this morning, I want us to look a little bit at the context of the passage that Jimmy just read for us from John chapter 10, because as you know, in the original gospel, there were no chapter dividers, and so you sort of miss what this is in response to if you don't get the chapter before. So I would commend to you, if you want homework from church, to go home afterwards and read chapter 9 and chapter 10, because that will give you even greater understanding of what Jesus is trying to get at here. And in John chapter 9, there is the story of the man born blind, the man who has never been able to see and is miraculously cured by Jesus. But the Pharisees, instead of being rejoicing about his healing, are appalled about this healing, and they drag the guy in and interrogate him about what happened. And out of that interrogation comes one of the most famous hymn lines ever that's in Amazing Grace, where John Newton says, "I was blind, but now I see." That is a direct quotation from the blind man in chapter 9. And the Pharisees get more and more worked up the more that the man speaks to them about how Jesus healed him. And the man even says to them, "Do you want to follow him also?" Well, they can hardly stand that. And so they look at this man who has just been miraculously healed, and they say to him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. But Jesus has a different response. And at the end of chapter 9, we hear, Jesus heard they had cast him out, and having found him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees said, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." And this goes right into the start of chapter 10. "We see your guilt remains. Truly, truly," Jesus said, "I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then two verses later, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And then today's gospel follows right after that. And one of the things that you see here is this contrast between the Pharisees, who have utterly failed in shepherding this blind man who has been healed and have cast him out, the Pharisees who have been bad shepherds contrasted with Jesus, who is the good shepherd. And notice in that story that as soon as the Pharisees cast out this man, Jesus goes out seeking him. He goes out and looks until he finds him, just like in that parable of the lost sheep that Jesus tells, where when the one sheep has wandered away, the good shepherd leaves the 99 and searches out that one to bring him back on his shoulder, coming back rejoicing. So this morning, as we think about Jesus, the good shepherd, and think about this great chapter of John 10, I want us to be aware of three really important questions that are addressed in this chapter. The first question that Jesus asks here is, what does it mean to be the good shepherd? What does it mean to be a good shepherd? The second is, whose sheep are you? And thirdly, what are the characteristics of sheep who belong to Jesus? So first, what does Jesus say about the good shepherd? And this morning's gospel passage, we hear about the feast and that Jesus is walking in the portico and it is winter. And these are clues that what's happening here is that they are celebrating the Feast of Hanukkah. The Feast of Hanukkah is one still observed in Judaism today. But what that feast represents is the victory of Judas Maccabeus over the Seleucid Empire and Antiochus Epiphanes, who had profaned the temple. And it was a great victory celebrated by the Jews, but it is a political victory. And it fed that narrative that the role of the Messiah was to be a political and military figure who would come and cast off this yoke of Roman oppression and set Israel free, set Judea free, to once again to be a great world power as it was under King David. So that is what the people are thinking the Messiah's role is. But Jesus is emphasizing through his teaching, and especially through John chapter 10, that he is not that kind of Messiah. He is a Messiah who will be the good shepherd. And this chapter, John 10, is one of the great chapters of Scripture, that there are so many doctrines that are based in this chapter. It's like Romans 12. It's one of those chapters that will repay your investment. It would be easy for the preacher to go on for 4 or 5 hours out of this chapter. I will not do that. Don't worry. But part of what is happening here is Jesus makes in this chapter 2 of his great I am statements. One of the great things in the Gospel of John is it reveals a lot about Jesus through these 7 great I am statements. Things like, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But here in this one chapter, we get 2 of those statements. First, Jesus saying, I am the door of the sheep. And then Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. And part of what Jesus is doing here is drawing this contrast between the good shepherd and the bad shepherd. And this is a contrast that we see all the way back in the Old Testament. And if you were to go back and read in the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34, you would hear this. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. That is the religious leaders. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains, and they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. And in this passage, we see the vision that God has for the shepherds, that they are to tend the sheep, not for their own gain, but for love of the sheep, to help the sheep find pasture and to keep them safe. But what the prophet says is they've abandoned this to enrich themselves and to do their own thing. And God says, I will step in myself and be their shepherd, prefiguring exactly what Jesus will do and what he says in this passage today. So these two great I am statements, I am the door of the sheep, I am the good shepherd, he says twice. And then four times in this one chapter, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's part of why this comes right after Easter, because we have just watched Jesus do exactly that, to lay down his life, to die on the cross, and then be raised from the dead on the third day. And in this, Jesus contrasts the only two destinies that there are, because there are only two kinds of shepherds. There's the bad shepherd and the good shepherd. And Jesus says the bad shepherd is the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. But the good shepherd comes that they may have life and have it abundantly. And Jesus says he is that good shepherd. He says, I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus is very clear here that he is the good shepherd, that he is the one to follow. As we just sang, I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will bring me home. But that brings us to the second question, which is perhaps the most important question for each one of us sitting in the pews here today in St. Philip's. Whose sheep are you? Now, you may think, I'm not anyone's sheep. Thank you very much. Being called a sheep is really not particularly flattering. Sheep are not particularly bright animals. They don't smell good. There's no such thing as a wild sheep. And the reason for that is sheep are utterly unable to defend themselves. But nonetheless, the scriptures teach us that we are all somebody's sheep. The question is, whose are we? And part of the reason this is so important today is we live in a culture that prizes expressive individualism, that says, I am the captain of my soul. And as our oldest daughter used to always say when she was five, you are not the boss of me. None of us like to think that anyone is the boss of us. But the fact of the matter is that somebody is the boss of us. This idea of independence is really an arrogant myth. The idea that we are free agents is a myth. It's just like Bob Dylan sang in that old song, you may be an ambassador to England or France, you might like to gamble, you might like to dance, you might be the heavyweight champion of the world, you might be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you have to serve somebody. And that is the same principle that Jesus is trying to get across here. There is no such thing as an independent sheep. A sheep that is on its own, that is trying to do its own thing, is a sheep that is soon going to be a dead sheep. Sheep cannot survive alone. They may think they can, but they will not be able to do it. Sheep have no protection against predators. If they do something as simple as fall over on their backs, they're unable to get up. They cannot find food on their own. They have to be led by someone who cares for them, who draws them to the places where there's pasture, who protects them from the predators that prey upon them. Jesus tells us that following the good shepherd leads to life, and that following the wrong or bad shepherd leads to death. And he says here, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And he is making here a clear delineation. There's no gray area here. You can't sort of belong to Jesus and sort of not. He says you either do or you don't. And part of the deal here is that we should not expect people who do not belong to Jesus, who are not his sheep, to understand anything about Jesus' kingdom or anything about the kingdom. And we shouldn't be angry at them because they don't understand, in the same way we wouldn't be angry at a blind man who steps on our toe. But what we should do is have deep compassion for these people, just like Jesus did. We see in Matthew's gospel where Jesus comes and he's standing on a hill looking out at this vast crowd of Jews and Gentiles who are out there, and he looks down at them, and the scriptures tell us that he had compassion on the crowd, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. He knew that they were lost and that they needed to belong to him. Those of us who are Jesus' sheep need to share that compassion, need to share what we know about who the Good Shepherd is and where pasture and life are to be found. So we've talked about what is a Good Shepherd. We've talked about whose sheep are you. And that brings us to the third question. What are the characteristics of Jesus' sheep? And in today's gospel, Jesus is very clear. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice, and he says he knows them. One of the interesting things is if you read about shepherds and sheep back in the first century in Judea, one of the things that was very common was for the shepherds to actually name their sheep. They knew the characteristics of each sheep. They would call them by name. And even now, you can see the sheep know how to hear the voice of their shepherd. There's some amazing videos on YouTube that show in the Middle East when all these different flocks of sheep are brought in by their shepherds to the communal sheep pen for a town. When the shepherd is ready to take his sheep out, there are hundreds and hundreds of sheep in there. He will walk up and make his call or his whistle, and then suddenly only the sheep that belong to him will come trotting right out. They may not be very smart, but they're really good at that. They recognize the voice of their shepherd. The other thing that Jesus says here is he knows them, just like those shepherds that knew the names and characteristics of their sheep back in the day. And Jesus says he gives them eternal life and that they are secure. No one will snatch them out of his hand. And then he goes on to say, no one will snatch them out of the Father's hand. There is a deep comfort in that. But part of what we see here also is that Jesus puts strong emphasis on two different things. The sheep hear his voice and listen to it. They hear his voice and listen to it. And the second thing is they follow him. They don't hear and listen and then say, no, no, I'm not going to follow him. I'm going after another shepherd. No, they follow him. The great Presbyterian preacher James Montgomery Boyce, who was at 10th Presbyterian up in Philadelphia, has this interesting insight from the Puritan era. And he says, in the Puritan era, it was the habit of many preachers to preach often and play on these two characteristics of sheep, that they hear and follow their shepherd. The Puritan preachers called these two things the marks of Christ's sheep. They were what distinguished Christ's sheep from everyone else. In the days when there were many flocks of sheep, it was necessary to mark the sheep in some way to distinguish them and to whom they belonged. In our day, this still happens with cattle where they are branded. But back in the day on sheep, this marking was done by cutting a small mark into the sheep's ear. The Puritan preacher said that each of Christ's sheep had a mark on the ear, and it was a double mark, not just on the ear, but on the foot as well. That if you truly are Christ's sheep, your ear is marked and your hoof, your foot is marked because you are committed to hearing, and not just hearing, but following. The mark on the ear means that the sheep hears Christ, and the mark on his foot means that he follows Christ. And the question for us is, how well are we doing with that? Part of the thing that is true for us is that sheep may not be very bright, we may not always be very bright, but we often know when the Lord is speaking to us. And the question is, are we careful to listen? Are we careful to try to distinguish the shepherd's voice when he is speaking to us? One of the things that is interesting that we see in this passage is that following the shepherd brings them not only food and water, but it keeps them safe from death. The other thing that you see if you study about sheep is they don't understand. They don't know why the shepherd is doing what he's doing always, but they know obedience because they know the heart of the shepherd is to love them. Sheep don't understand, but they follow. The only problem happens when the sheep get out of range of the shepherd's voice. They wander off and leave the shepherd in the same way that we are prone to do. But the problem is when you get distant from the shepherd, you risk death. Jesus leads the sheep. He knows the sheep. He blazes the trail that makes it possible for them to follow. But this is an important, active kind of following. The word follow today gets all many of us mixed up because of social media. We think that being a follower just means we click on something and then suddenly we see pictures from this person and that's all there is to it. But the kind of following that the gospel is talking about is more like if you were in another city and someone in your family who was with you had an emergency and needed to go to the hospital, and you had no idea where the hospital was, but a native of that town had stopped to help you, and they said, "Follow my car, and I will take you to the hospital." You would follow with all of your energy, with all of your strength, because you knew that the life of this person you loved depended on your following. That's the kind of following Jesus is talking about. He's talking about proactive following. And part of the problem for us is that we have so many voices in our lives. All of these things coming at us all the time, whether it be from media or culture or our family or our workplace or our friends. But the most important thing is that we make space in our lives to listen to what our shepherd might be speaking to us, whether that be through scripture, through worship, through prayer, through good Christian counsel, through fellowship. All of those things, we have to make space to be able to hear. And we have to understand that Jesus calls us not to just know about him, to learn all the statistics about shepherds, but to actually know him, to know his voice, to be ready to follow him, to understand his heart of love for us. There's a really wonderful story about this and how easy it is to take for granted that took place back in the darkest days of the Civil War in 1862. And there was a young man named Joseph Gilmore who was in his mid-20s, who had just graduated from seminary, and he had been appointed to go and preach on Good Shepherd Sunday at First Baptist Church in Philadelphia, which is a big church. And he was very intimidated. And his text for that Sunday was the 23rd Psalm. So he had written this sermon based on expositing the 23rd Psalm. But as he got up into the pulpit and started reading the 23rd Psalm, he got to the phrase, "He leadeth me." And as he thought about that phrase, "He leadeth me," he became overcome with emotion and began to weep. And he said, "All of my life I had learned that psalm from when I was a small child, but it had never occurred to me to stop and think what that actually meant. That it meant the God of the universe, the God who made every living creature, who made the sun and the stars and the moon, that God would extend his hand down to me, this mortal creature, and he would promise to lead me as a good shepherd." And he was so overwhelmed that he could hardly make it through the rest of the sermon. And when he sat down, he scribbled a few words of meditation about what a beautiful thing it was to think about Jesus as the shepherd leading us. And he stuck that little meditation in his Bible. And his wife, looking through his Bible a few days later, found it and sent it off to a publisher, and it ended up being published as a poem and inspired someone to write music for it and became the hymn that we will end with today. And in that hymn, "He leadeth me," we hear these words. "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." My friends, what a privilege we have to know who the Good Shepherd is. What a privilege we have to know whose sheep we are, that we cannot be snatched out of his hand. And what a privilege to have to know that those two characteristics of hearing and following after our shepherd will lead us to eternal life. Let me close with the beautiful collect for Good Shepherd Sunday. Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the Good Shepherd of thy people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calleth us each by name, and follow where he doth lead, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth ever one God, world without end. Amen.